evening, Mr. Hubbard. You're wet, sir. Let me take your coat.
Most unpleasant night. I waited near on 40 minutes in the Strand. Why is it that the moment it rains, all the hansom cabs vanish from the streets of London?
I couldn't say, sir.
A mystery. I must get my friend John Silence to work on it. What I need is a stiff brandy and soda. Is Dr. Silence in the club?
No, sir.
Mr. Armitage or Captain Lloyd?
I'm afraid not, sir. There's not many people in at all on account of the weather.
Oh, then I'm fated to become a solitary drinker, James. You'd be warned.
Yes, sir. Oh, Mr. Hubbard.
Yes?
There's one of the members been asking for Dr. Silence. I don't know if you could help him. He's in the smoking room.
What does he want?
Well, as to that, I couldn't really say. Most upset he was. Very put out to find the doctor wasn't here.
He is not, I trust, under the impression that Dr. Silence is an ordinary GP.
Oh, no, sir. He didn't say anything about it being a medical emergency.
Oh, what did he say?
He asked which of the members was Dr. Silence. And then, when I told him the gentleman wasn't in the club, he asked for the doctor's private address, which I did not give him, it being contrary to the club rules.
Oh, quite right. Dear me, what a curious way to behave. Can you tell me the fellow's name?
Yes, sir. Colonel Ragg, one of the country members, sir.
And he is...
In the smoking room, sir, writing a letter, I believe.
Ah.
I took the liberty of suggesting a letter which he could leave in the hall porter's office.
I'd better speak to the man. Ask them to send a large brandy and soda up to the smoking room, will you?
Yes, sir, right away.
Excuse me, am I addressing Colonel Ragg?
You are, sir.
My name is Hubbard, Stephen Hubbard.
How do you do?
I haven't the pleasure of your acquaintance, but I believe you were asking after a friend of mine.
You know him?
Dr. Silence. Extremely well.
I thought I might write to your friend on a matter of interest, general interest. But no doubt it was presumptuous to suppose that he, a total stranger... No, it will not do.
Might I ask what troubles you, sir?
A lively imagination, Mr. Hubbard. No more. Aided perhaps by too much drink.
Oh, come, sir. You strike me as a man of reasonable and moderate habits.
Do I indeed?
Your brandy, sir?
Ah.
Shall I put the soda in?
Thank you. That's enough.
Can I get you a drink, sir?
No.
So we may dismiss alcohol.
I'm sorry?
There's the cause of your perplexity.
This man's Silence. Any good is he? Not a charlatan.
He's a very learned man, and, yes, a strangely gifted man.
I have heard stories, but is the fellow trained? Is he reliable? Is he to be trusted?
With what? The petty cash?
I beg your pardon. I spoke out of turn. Forgive me.
I think you have misunderstood the situation. I've no idea what curious gossip you may have picked up, but I can assure you, my friend John Silence is unique. He trained as a doctor, yes, but he prefers to devote his time to the poor, the underprivileged, and the afflicted.
I had heard...
Yes?
Look, this friend of yours, doesn't he go in for psychic research, spiritualism? I don't know what to call it.
He has a knowledge of mysteries. He's made a study of the occult.
And would he be willing? Would he be able to...
Colonel Ragg, if you have any grave problem, if you're troubled by something that appears to you to be inexplicable, I do urge you to approach John Silence. I should be happy to provide an introduction.
No, I am growing old, fanciful. You will oblige me by forgetting the matter.
It could do no harm to write.
I wonder...
Well, I shall be seeing Dr. Silence tomorrow. I can deliver a note.
Why not? Yes, why not? I had written the letter. Where is it? Where have I put it? Oh, damn it, it's in the waste paper basket.
Yes, sir. Allow me.
Oh, hell, I can't send that. I have to write it again. Well, your friend's a doctor. At least he'd be able to tell me if I'm going mad.
I'm certain there's no fear of that, Colonel Ragg.
Give me your personal impression of this man, Stephen.
Retired army officer. Prosaic, elderly. What more can I say?
Had he been drinking?
He was certainly not drunk. But I did wonder if the fellow was ill.
Ah. Now why?
Do you remember last night? It rained from 7 o'clock onwards. It grew horribly cold, and the fire in the smoking room was far too low. We must raise this with the committee, you know. The fires in the side rooms are simply not adequate. I mean to collect a dozen signatures.
Do, but first tell me about Colonel Ragg. Oh,
forgive me. The point I am making, John, it was a cold night, the room was cold.
Yes?
Only when he gave me that letter, Colonel Ragg touched my hand, and his fingers were blazing hot.
Curious.
I felt a certain alarm. I thought some disease...
Not necessarily.
He could, I suppose, have been holding his hands to the dying flame. But he wasn't. At least, not while I was there, and therefore not for the last 10 minutes. And yet
Stephen,
I...
hold that envelope against your forehead. Between the eyes, that is the most sensitive part of the skin.
Mm-hmm. Well?
What do you feel?
Nothing. Except, good Lord, yes. A sensation of heat.
Thank you.
What does it mean?
Oh, my friend, even I do not make diagnoses when in total ignorance of the facts.
I won't ask you what was in the letter.
Ask by all means. I have no hesitation in replying. There was nothing in the letter.
He doesn't explain.
Colonel Ragg presents his compliments and invites me to spend a weekend at his house in Dorset. To shoot birds.
Good heavens. Is this fellow mad?
Interesting.
John, you detest blood sports. And for a total stranger to ask...
We shall need 2 guns. Perhaps you can arrange that, Stephen. No ammunition, of course.
You could never mean to go...
Oh, the guns are camouflage, my dear man. So is the shooting party, or hadn't you realized that?
Well, upon my word, he takes too much for granted. Why should you spend the weekend with him? He gives no explanation, no reason. Why the devil should you humor him?
I think because you feel a sensation of heat.
Mm-hmm.
A Saturday morning will be most convenient. Could you check the trains? We go from Waterloo Station, I believe.
How much longer? He seems to live in the wild.
We have to get ourselves to Farthing Maltravers. And there he will apparently meet us with a dog cart.
I love this country. Little rounded hills, looking for all the world as if they've been turned out of pudding bowls. The long sweep of the heather, queer black patches where the pine trees rise.
Colonel Horace Ragg.
Did you discover much about him?
Oh, yes, all about him, and all of it disappointing. An army career of singular dullness, training officers in Aldershot, one desk job after another, purely administrative, and entirely confined to the British Isles.
Is he married?
Not even that dubious adventure. Yeah, he lives with an elderly sister at the Manor Priory Mullen.
Where his principal activity is no doubt writing letters to the Times.
We're nearly there. Get down the baggage. I can see a railway halt.
I blame myself, John. Mind your head. If I'd never gone into the club that night, if I'd never met this man or delivered his blasted note, he would not now be condemned to a dreary weekend.
Oh, don't say that. The weekend lies before us. Oh, a word of caution. Miss Ragg is apparently an invalid confined to a wheelchair. The Colonel asks specifically that she should not be alarmed.
Alarmed? Alarmed by what?
Ah, well, that, my friend, we have still to find out.
Dr. Silence? Excuse me, sir. Are you...
Good day to you, sir.
Ah, you are most welcome. How do you do, Mr... I've forgotten your name.
Hubbard.
Will you follow me, gentlemen? Let me take your case, Dr. Silence. I have the dog cart waiting.
Ah, thank you.
Very good of you to come. Very conscious of the honor. Much obligated to you, sir. Here we are. Steady, steady there. Come around this side, Dr. Silence. Can you manage, Mr...
Hubbard. Yes.
If you could give me a hand up, Colonel Wragg.
Oh, yes, indeed. I do beg your pardon.
No longer a young man. Ah, that is capital. Thank you so much.
Oh, you'll find a rug for your knees.
Thank you.
Did you feel anything?
A sensation of heat. Extraordinary.
You'll be at the manor in about 20 minutes. Get up there, get up. Fine country, gentlemen. I own 30 or 40 acres hereabouts. I can show you some pretty decent sport.
Colonel Wragg, you are anxious, as I understand it, not to involve your sister in this affair.
Oh, yes. She's ill, you know. She's damned ill.
Then may I suggest you come to the point at once? We have on your own admission only 20 minutes.
What? What's that?
Sir, in the interests of your sister's health, I accept this charade of a shooting party. But you must now tell me the true purpose of your invitation.
Steady, steady there. Yes, I had a motive, a reason. The thing is, you see, my brother died.
Go on. You had a brother?
Older than I am. Something of a wanderer. He made quite a name for himself, I believe, in quarters where they admire that sort of stuff. Simon Wragg.
You know him, Stephen?
No.
I won't pretend we were intimate. Damn it, I never saw the chap for years on end. Yes, queer business life. Simon, well, he kicked up dust in all the backyards of the world. Then he came home, bought his house in Priory Mullan, and settled down with Ellen.
Your sister, she was already ill?
No, that came later.
Oh, Colonel Wragg.
I visited them once. Oh, yes. But the army is my life. I was in quarters outside Aldershot. I'm a very busy man.
So you only visited them once?
And I got a message. They called me from the parade ground to tell me my brother had been found dead.
The circumstances, if you please.
He was discovered lying in an open field. No cover. Country such as you see before you now. A few yards away lay the body of his gamekeeper, a man named Peter Stride.
And the cause of death?
Fire.
Fire? Ah, you mean by some accident their clothes had caught alight?
The clothes were singed and marked by smoke. That much is true. But the hands and faces were scorched black. Scorched and blasted. Sir, my brother had died of burns in the middle of an open field. It could have all been an accident. They were perhaps burning heather. The earth was dark. And the grass was dead all around the place.
You saw this for yourself?
But later. Yes, sir. I was near retirement. Well, what did it matter? I came down here to live with Ellen. The shock had paralyzed my poor sister.
When was this?
A year ago.
And since then?
I am not mad.
Oh, we trust your sanity, Colonel Wragg. Never fear.
Damn it, I am a plain, blunt man. No fanciful rubbish about me.
What troubles you?
Where in the name of God is the fire coming from?
Give me the details as precisely as you can, please.
For the past 6 months, fire has been seen in the 12-acre wood. We have found patches of scorched earth. I cannot get a gamekeeper to go near the place. Smoke drifts in the air. There's a smell of burning even in the house itself. I have persuaded my sister to sleep on the ground floor.
Why?
I speak in confidence. She must not be alarmed.
Of course, of course.
On two occasions, I have found smoke in her room. Last week, a small fire by the windowsill, licking inwards across the carpet.
This is some lunatic incendiary. She has an enemy.
My sister, an elderly maiden lady, confined to a wheelchair?
Please continue.
Oh, I cannot tell you what we have endured. Rumors spread to the village. The maids left. It is said that lights can be seen moving within the 12-acre wood. By night, no one goes near it. By day, we are plagued with sightseers, souvenir hunters, cutting pieces off the bark and carrying them home. We have had proposals, heaven help us, to exorcise the place.
And so you come to me.
Dr. Silence, this madness must stop. For there is a rational, down-to-earth explanation, isn't there?
There is an explanation, certainly.
And you know what it is?
I have a suspicion. No more. And I see we're approaching your house. What a delightful place. Originally a farmhouse, I imagine.
And delighted to make your acquaintance, Dr. Silence. You must forgive an old lady. I cannot, as you see, rise.
I trust we shall not be a burden to you, Miss Rag.
Oh, not at all. I enjoy company. Do you, by any chance, play cribbage?
Oh, I'm sorry. I fear I have no social graces.
Oh. Would you care to see the gun room, Dr. Silence?
Oh, thank you. Yes, certainly.
Follow me, and mind your head, sir. These beams are damnably low.
And you are... forgive me, I didn't quite catch your name.
Stephen Hubbard.
Oh. Sit beside me.
Thank you.
I'm a little deaf. That's it. Is your room comfortable?
Yes, indeed. And it commands a magnificent view of the hills.
Oh, I'm glad. And I confess I envy you. My brother makes me sleep on the ground floor, you know. One can't see anything from the ground floor.
I believe these old houses are...
Yes.
They're most attractive.
You were about to say they burn easily.
Do they? I confess the idea hadn't occurred to me. One must obviously be careful, though.
Oh, yes. Horace is very careful. Mm.
What a beautiful brooch you're wearing, Miss Rag. Jade, isn't it?
My brother gave it to me.
Ah.
My brother Simon.
Ah, yes.
My brother Simon was a most interesting man. I wish you'd met him. But he's dead, you know.
He was somewhat older, I expect.
Oh, I'm old, too.
Oh, nonsense.
And Horace is old. Old and dry and dull. Yes, he wanted to play soldiers, but nobody would let him.
Oh, he has surely had a most distinguished career.
Teaching little boys to kill each other. It's an evil world, Mr. Hubbard. And now we have this dreadful business with the Boers.
Oh, indeed.
You have visited South Africa?
No, Miss Rag, I'm afraid not.
Simon visited the Cape on several occasions. He travelled over the world, you know, and came back with such exciting tales.
Oh, I can imagine.
I was 10 years younger than Simon, and I used to sit at his feet as a little girl, pull up a stool, and beg him to tell me a story. Even when I grew into a young lady, it was the same. It wasn't possible. It was not usual in those days for young ladies to travel.
Long journeys too often involve hardship.
Oh, do you think so? Now, I should have thought the real hardship was to sit at home and wait. Still, he always came back.
India or China or South Carolina.
I'm sorry.
I was thinking of the old nursery rhyme, Miss Rag. India or China or South Carolina, he always came home for his tea.
Oh. He brought me the most wonderful presents. Silk from Damascus, lace from Venice, ivory from India. Tomorrow I must show you my frozen memories. That's what I call them. Souvenir du temps perdu.
Was the brooch a present from your brother?
Yes. That came from Egypt. See how it flashes.
Dinner is served, madam.
Thank you, Jane. That girl is utterly impossible. I do apologize. We have such trouble getting maids at all. She will say, "Dinner is served," in a voice that suggests we're all about to be poisoned. And if dinner is anything like yesterday's, she could well be right. Mr. Hubbard, might I ask you to be so very kind as to push my wheelchair into the dining room?
Oh, why, certainly, Miss Rag, certainly.
Thank you. Horace! Dr. Silence!
Coming, madam.
We're going in to dinner.
Yes, yes.
Come in.
John?
Ah, Stephen.
I saw the light under your door. Sleep escapes you as well.
I've not gone to bed.
I lay down and shut my eyes with singular lack of success. Oh, why is the house so hot?
The element of fire.
I spoke at some length to Miss Ellen.
Yes, and that is the most exasperating part of all. The one person I should question, and I'm not allowed to. I'm fighting with an arm tied behind my back, Stephen.
Oh, I doubt if you gain much from the old lady. She seems an amiable creature who clearly adored her brother and has never recovered from his death. He was a great traveller, by all accounts.
I'm sure of it.
Oh, how still the air is. Even by the window, the night feels thick with heat.
I may have to force the issue before more harm be done.
Is there danger, then, in your opinion?
Oh, yes. Very grave and very imminent.
Miss Ragg, I assure you, is a harmless invalid, a little childish like many elderly ladies, and lives mainly in the past.
That is exactly what concerns me. I must know where he has hidden it.
Hidden it?
Come in, come in.
Ah, I thought I heard voices. Not asleep yet, gentlemen. Would you care for a nightcap? Some whiskey, perhaps, or a brandy and soda?
Thank you, no. Tomorrow, Colonel, I would like to search this 12-acre wood.
Of course. If you have no objection, I propose we leave the house carrying guns and taking the dogs with us. My sister must not be alarmed.
Yes, yes, I appreciate your anxiety. Tell me, though, these dogs of yours, will they run amongst the trees?
To be frank with you, sir, no.
No, I did not suppose they would. Well, good night, Colonel. Tomorrow we must make an early start.
So that is the 12-acre wood. On my word, it lies like a black stain against the hillside.
I would suggest you wait here, Colonel Ragg. There's no need for all of us to search the wood, and you are alarming your dogs quite unnecessarily.
As you please. I shall keep guard by the path.
One thing. Is there any water in or near the wood?
A sort of brackish pool. You'll find it on the far side, beyond the rhododendrons and the clearing.
Thank you. We shall not be long, I think.
Poor man. He didn't like it, John.
Put your gun behind that tree. I've no intention of burdening myself with a cumbersome and murderous piece of metal.
But if there's danger...
It will be nothing you can put a bullet through, Stephen. I promise you that. Now concentrate your mind. And give me your impressions of this place.
It's badly kept, decaying. At first glance, I would say they lack the money to maintain the estate, to keep it in proper order. Rotten branches everywhere. Dead roots. Ants. A smell of,
Yes?
A burning.
Follow me closely. Do you observe no more?
The trees are choked with ivy. Brambles everywhere and, on the ground. On the ground, yes, yes. Yes, look, John, a patch of scorched grass. And another.
What else?
Something, that could be the morning haze lifting from the pine branches. Or it could be...
Smoke?
Then there must be fire, as the saying goes.
Oh, yes, but we know that already. Use your ears, man. Listen.
What is that hissing noise?
We have been observed, my friend.
By whom? By what? We should have kept the gun.
No. Stop a little. The need is to arm your mind. We are facing a mental phenomenon. It is aware of your mind as a force, a power. It is not aware of you as a person. All energy is finally controlled by the mind. Grasp this fact and you hold the universe in your hand.
But I'm sorry, I do not. I cannot accept that mere thought is able to influence physical matter.
As you please. No doubt your father does not believe in electricity. It will still kill him if he touches a live current.
Oh, my God! What's that?
You still hear it?
It's getting louder. We're surrounded by it.
And now we must act.
John, wait. For pity's sake. Come back.
Concentrate on the sound. You hear the sound. You hear it very clearly. You are following the sound.
Not so fast. Watch out, man. The ground is riddled with potholes. And those great rhododendrons. See, the mass of flaming
scarlet.
Don't
look at them. Don't let your mind be turned from one purpose. The noise. The hissing noise.
It grows fainter now.
Good, it is running before us. Pray heaven I am driving it in the right direction. Now pull back those bushes. Yes, the pool.
What now?
Keep your eyes fixed on the water. I have forced it to the very edge. It will have to betray itself.
John!
You saw it too.
I saw. Before God, I do not know what I saw. A thin streak ran across the water. There was a jet of steam.
Well, well. We can go back now. At least I know what it is we have to fight. Let us rejoin the worthy colonel. We take this path, I think.
You speak in mysteries, sir. What is a fire elemental?
Well, this is no time for a lecture on the nature and history of magic, but briefly, an elemental is the active force behind the elements, whether earth, air, water, or fire. Alone, these elemental energies can accomplish little, but governed and directed by the trained will of a powerful manipulator, they may become potent activities for good or evil. They are the basis of all magic, black or white. They can be the vehicle of curses or of blessings. For a curse is nothing more than the thought of a violent will perpetuated, perhaps over centuries. And in cases like this, the conscious, directing will of the mind that is using the elemental stands always behind the phenomenon.
I follow you, Dr. Simon. Some enemy of my family, you would say. Perhaps dead. I keep an open mind. I myself believe in ghosts.
No ghosts, sir. And nothing so immediate as a personal enemy. No, 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 no. We are dealing here with an immensely powerful mind of great malevolence and, I suspect, an ancient capacity for evil.
Good God! What's that?
It came from the direction of the house.
No, not yet. It cannot have escaped already.
It's Ellen! Dear heaven, it's my sister! And she is running!
Jane. Now tell us exactly what happened, please.
I'll never get over it. It was horrible. I feel all shook up. Just to talk
yes,
about it.
Yes, but what happened?
I'd just come in, sir, to ask the mistress what she wanted for lunch. And I noticed that the room was ever so hot. And all of a sudden, there was a smell like burning flesh. And Miss Rag, she jumped right out of her chair. And she ran, sir. Before my very eyes, she ran right out of the house.
Did you see anything?
I just told you.
No, you misunderstand me. Did you notice any flames, any smoke?
It happened so quick, like this great wave of heat come over me. And I could smell this terrible burn.
Yes, that follows. The sense of smell is the most basic instinct of man.
I couldn't do nothing, sir, honestly. She was gone before I could turn around.
All right, my girl, no one is blaming you. You may go.
Yes, sir. Oh, sir, is she dead?
No.
Cook saw the doctor come.
Of course. Your mistress is suffering from shock and multiple burns.
Dr. Silence. Oh, go to the kitchen, Jane.
Yes, sir.
This is a terrible business.
You have my sympathy, sir. I am most deeply sorry. I should have realized. I did not expect the thing to move so fast.
My poor Ellen.
Now, Colonel, when can I see her?
What's that, see her? You can't see her, sir.
Colonel Rag, the situation is far more dangerous than I'd realized. There is no time to be lost.
My little Ellen.
I gather she has recovered the use of her limbs, under shock, no doubt.
No, this...
Is there bad news, sir?
She has lost the power of speech.
Listen to me, my friend. It may not be permanent. God willing, the affliction may pass. But we are approaching a crisis. I can permit of no delay. Now, kindly, take me to your sister's room.
Who is this man?
Doctor, may I present our family physician, Dr. Corbin.
Sir?
And you, I think, are Dr. John Silence, the notable London eccentric.
Oh, come, I must...
Stephen, I am on urgent business. I cannot spare the time to defend my reputation.
What a pity. I believe you dabble in metaphysics, sir.
Upon my... Word.
I must see Miss Rag at once.
Out of the question. My patient is in no condition to receive visits from well-intentioned strangers.
You will regret this.
A pleasure to have met you, sir. Now, if I might have a word concerning diet, Colonel...
Stephen. Yes, my dear fellow.
Keep an eye on that imbecile. I must and will see Miss Rag. And do you know where her bedroom is?
On the ground floor, John, you remember.
Yes. Now stand in the hall and watch the door.
Is this wise, since her doctor advises
against... Quiet. I am depending on you, my friend. We cannot fail now. Miss Rag?
I'm very sorry to disturb you. You have my deepest sympathy in your pain. I wish I could leave you in peace, but I am trying to save your family. Do you understand? Listen to me. Where is it? You lived here with Simon Ragg. You must know. Where is it? Miss Ragg, what did your brother bring from the East, and where has he hidden it? Give me a sign.
Doctor, silence. I must protest. This is a monstrous breach of good faith. How dare you pester a sick woman? Leave the room, sir.
Miss Ragg, I beg of
you. Are you not ashamed? See for yourself, the unfortunate lady is crying.
And still she cannot speak.
I shall report this matter to Colonel Ragg. You are a guest in his house, but I cannot believe he will tolerate such behavior.
Did you have to do it, man?
Colonel Ragg, is it totally impossible to impress you with the gravity of your danger?
My poor Ellen.
Since she cannot help me, I'm forced to turn to you. Now, did your brother bring back souvenirs from the East?
What? Oh, yes, yes, dozens.
I remember now she spoke of them. Frozen memories, she called them, John. It stuck in my mind.
Yes, indeed, a curious phrase. And Miss Ragg wears a brooch, I believe, in the shape of a jade scarab.
Oh, does she? I have no idea. He was always bringing her presents.
Then I can fairly assume that the brooch was a gift, and being a scarab, came from Egypt.
Yes, she told me so.
Your brother spent much time in Egypt?
I couldn't tell you.
Had you so little communication, sir?
Oh, he wrote to me, sent the odd postcard.
Did your brother write of any special treasure, something he had discovered?
I don't know. I never read half his letters, to tell you the truth.
Have you still got them?
Well, Simon's letters? No, of course I haven't.
Oh, what infernal...
They annoyed me, if you want to know. The chap was always off to some new, exciting place where I couldn't go.
Colonel Ragg, tell me this. When you came to live at Priory Mullen, did you remove anything from the house?
What's that?
Did you throw out any souvenirs?
Good Lord, no. Nothing to do with me.
Did you alter the running of the house?
Why, they had a perfectly efficient housekeeper. I just let her get on with it.
Oh, sir.
What is it, Jane?
It's the mistress. She was out of bed. I found her crouching by the French window trying to reach the handle.
I'll come at once.
Colonel, I suggest you let her go.
Out of the house? Are you insane, man?
We have to discover where it is.
She was that strong, I had to call Dr. Corbin to help me.
Let her go.
John, I scarcely think it was.
Are you so blind to suffering, sir? Are you so callous, indifferent?
Have you forgotten my warning? To use your own jargon, Colonel, we are under gunfire in this house. We should and must find the man behind the gun, the power which is threatening all our lives.
I can only think of Ellen.
She's back in bed now, sir. It's all right. Dr. Corbin gave her a sleeping draught, poor lady. And she's lying peaceful, fast asleep.
And when she wakes, I must be told, the only chance we have is to let her go and follow. For most assuredly, she knows.
What you suggest is outrageous, sir. Out of the question.
Colonel,
I am not prepared to risk my sister's health. I will not permit these clownish experiments. Poor Ellen. Let her rest. You and I will talk in the morning. Dr. Silence.
Stephen, are you awake?
John, what is it? What's the time?
Past midnight. Put on your coat and follow me.
Is something wrong?
I've been sitting by my window this past hour. Draw back the curtains. Look.
There's something crawling across the lawn. Strange. Is it an animal?
Look again.
The shadows are wavering. There's so little light. My God, it's Miss Ragg.
Quietly and swiftly after me.
John, be careful of the stair. The timbers creak.
Wait while I fetch a candle.
There's no time. Hold the banister.
John, the woman is ill.
But the night, I think, will not be cold. Can you not feel the heat on your face even here? Where is the boat?
I have it. We shall waken the dogs.
So hurry. We must not lose sight of her. Now, open the door carefully.
I wish there had been a moon.
Over there, by the hedge. Or is it merely a shadow?
Yes. She's gone.
But that's impossible.
Well, she cannot be far away. We must search the fields.
John, she can barely drag herself along the ground.
Hey, man, we have got to find her.
The clouds are thickening fast. Oh, damnation. The dogs have woken already. Oh, Why is it so hot?
Now, be careful of the gate.
No sign of life or movement anywhere. Wait. What's that light? It flickered over the trees.
The wood. Yes, of course. And yet, how could she have got so far?
I can smell burning in the air.
Here, hurry, hurry. Rest. You will exhaust yourself to no purpose.
What's there? A light. It's glared between the trees.
And at least it serves to reveal the dark corners of this accursed place.
And she's not here.
No.
The thing is not possible. To vanish before our eyes.
Stephen. Huh? I have been dangerously misled. Back.
What?
Fool that I am, I should have realized. I should have guessed, of course.
John?
The thing is simple. Simon Ragg made a tunnel. Back. Back to the house.
Hello? Who's there? Helen?
Colonel Ragg.
My sister has gone.
Yes.
I have roused the servants. We are searching the whole place.
You waste precious time, sir. Now tell me, where is the tunnel?
What's that, what?
There is a passage connecting your house with the 12-acre wood. Take me to it at once.
What are you saying? A passage?
A secret entrance. Not in the house itself, for she left the house. Are there any buildings nearby?
A barn, or the stables, and a kind of shed the women use for their laundry in.
Not the stables, for the horses have a powerful instinct for evil. They would stampede. Not the barn, for your workmen come and go. It has to be the laundry shed. Lead the way with your lantern, Colonel, and hurry. Hold up the lantern, Colonel. Brick walls, the iron frame, wooden rollers, the smell of damp wood.
John, in the corner here. A flagstone's been torn away.
Ah, we have it.
Oh, dear God. The woman's old and weak. How in heaven's name did she move this monstrous block?
The spirit is stronger than the body that holds it. Bend down. We shall have to crawl. Colonel, I must ask you for the light, for I had better lead.
Oh, yes. Yes, of course.
Oh, the dust lifted my throat and eyes.
Oh, this place is like an oven. Blasted darkness.
Put your hand on Hubbard's shoulder. He'll guide you.
Oh, yes.
If the tunnel should cave in...
Now, courage. We must go forward. Yes. At all costs.
Can't we rest for a moment?
Are you certain we're on the right track?
Stop a moment. Listen. You hear that? She's some yards ahead of us and traveling slowly, thank heaven.
Helen! Helen!
She will not hear you. Her mind is running on before.
Damnation.
Are you hurt, sir?
No, I caught my knee on a rock.
What's happening? Has the lantern flared up? Why has it grown so light?
Yes, there is more light, certainly. Oh, for pity's sake. Where's it coming from?
Wait.
No sound.
She has arrived at her destination. I'm going to put out the lantern now. Move very quietly, please, and whatever you may see, do not cry out.
Oh, God, the heat. Have you a handkerchief? The perspiration blinds me.
I can see her, Colonel.
Huh? Where?
She's on her knees in front of something. Block of wood. No, there seems to be a length of cloth unwinding.
Keep back. Keep silent.
What is she doing? What is it? What's that filthy smell?
John, am I right?
In what, my friend?
She has the scarab brooch in her hand.
Mm.
And that thing is an embalmed corpse.
Yes.
Egyptian. It's an Egyptian mummy.
I had feared as much. They have torn it from the sarcophagus. They have released the spirit.
A corpse? Did you say a corpse? I tell you, that object is moving. It's beginning to rise. Helen!
But, John, I saw it move as well. I saw it move. unless my eyes were tricked by the blinding light.
The element of fire. Steward?
Yes, sir?
A brandy and soda for me, please, Stephen.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Tell me, how much do you know of the ancient Egyptian burial rite?
Well, I know. Everybody knows they preserved the bodies of their dead.
The king, Stephen. Only the king.
The royal personages, yes.
To what end?
I'm sorry.
Why did they do it?
Oh, I see what you mean. Well, I believe the various spices, the unguents, were supposed to comfort the spirit. They invoked the gods to help its passage from this world.
Not entirely. There is another theory, my friend.
Oh?
They had great knowledge, the Egyptians, great wisdom. But a very human fear of being deserted by their king. The elements were invoked not to help the soul of the dead leader, but to prevent it from leaving.
I see.
We are all finally afraid of the dark.
Obviously, Simon Ragg had stolen the jade scarab. She was trying to return the object to pacify the creature.
With all respect, I doubt if a great Egyptian king would be concerned about such trifles.
But she had the brooch, John. I saw it in her hand.
And still you have not understood.
Then tell me.
Stephen, it's a terrible thing. Not to be allowed to die.
Ah, yes. Yes.
The soul was literally trapped within the petrified body.
And Simon Ragg
tore away the wrappings and set it free. I fancy he was scared by the demon he had raised. With the gamekeeper, he decided to hide the evidence. Impossible to carry the body across an open field, so he constructed a tunnel and moved the thing secretly into the wood.
But the fire...
It caught them as they were returning. A violent spirit of great strength, frustrated for centuries, striking out with the only weapon it could still control, the element of fire. As a piece of glass will focus sunlight, so the powerful will focused heat.
Is it possible?
Ah, you prefer not to believe it?
You were brandy, sir.
Ah, thank you.
Ah, thank you. But damn it, John, we live in the 19th century. We're two civilized men.
I assure you, the Egyptians thought their action equally civilized and even necessary.
No, I don't know, John. I don't know.
Take your drink. By the way, did you happen to see Miss Ragg's face before she died?
No.
It was scorched. And blasted.